Yes, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Are you happy tonight? Are you happy to be a Christian? Thank you, musicians. Thank you for your service. I'm happy to be here this tonight. In fact, I'm glad that I'm here, right? Amen. I'm happy to be here. Amen. Come on. Inform your face that you're happy. Thank you. Amen. So, I know it's a surprise to me to see me here, and it's a surprise for you to see me here. I guess your pastor needed some time to take care of something, so I'm glad that we can help somehow a little bit here and a little bit there. So if he took the whole week off, that's good. He needs to take some time off. He is a man that works hard, and he do work hard. I mean, this is not an easy job. In fact, I don't want it. I always told them, you don't have to work for me to take your pulpit because, I don't want it. Andy don't want it. Anybody? Going one, going twice? So, I mean, who would like to deal with people? That's where all the problems come. I'm getting ahead of my preaching. No. Amen. Thank you. Let us, I got a lot. So let us pray and let's just jump into that. Father, we thank you once again. We are so happy and so delighted to be in the house of the Lord with your precious blood. Father, we thank you because we are a new creation. Thank you for your mercy and your grace and your loving kindness. Father, tonight, Father, I will stand in this pulpit, Father. Father, I will open my mouth. I want you to feel it, Father. At the same time, I ask for the congregation, the hearers, that you fill their hearts with the word, Father. Father, let your spirit be in control, Father, of everything that we do, we say. Every movement, every face expression, every hand, everything, Father, we want to surrender to you and have control of it, Father. Not only in the pulpit, but out in the audience as well, Father. We love you and we thank you. And we appreciate you so much. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. Don't sit yet. Let me read a verse here first. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. Yeah, we're going to start there. For though we walk in the flesh, this is Paul. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So that will be my subtitle. We're going to talk about the weapons of choice. And what is a warfare? If somebody knows it's me, I've been in war. I know what war it is and what it do. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, any thoughts, any ideas, any opinions, and everything that exalts itself above or against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity. We are going to take those thoughts and take that imagination and, put it in jail. We're not interested in that. He says, into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bring it to the Bible, to the obedience of Christ. And having readiness to revenge all disobedience. So that word, I think it means retaliate, We're just going to arrest him, out of here. When your obedience is fulfilled, amen. So that is when your obedience will be fulfilled. When you arrest every thought, every idea, that's when you are completely dead. And your mind is gone, and now it's the mind of Christ in you. And your obedience will be fulfilled. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So we are going to look at the art. That's my title, The Art of Warfare. Because it's an art to it. No, it's a process. But we are going to concentrate mainly because a war is so much planning and strategics and things going on. We're not going to go through all that, but mainly weapons of choice and what is a warfare. So you said, but I didn't join this to be fighting. Well, it's too late. Well, if you want to leave, you can leave, but you're too late. This is not a picnic. You did not join a picnic. I mean, you're not looking for a fight, but the fight is looking for you. I mean, you don't even have to. You know, you just be a bystander there. And, you know, the fight will come to you. You ain't got no choice. And you said, well, I don't know, understand. Well, Matthew 11:12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. So this don't tell me that I'm just sitting, you know, nonchalant, relaxing. This requires some activation here. This requires some doing. See? I mean, I'm going to take back what he stole from me. Amen. Previous. I don't care if I have to get violent about it. I'm tired of him. He did it to me, and now it's my turn. Amen. Take it by force. He said, but I don't know. You're not supposed to be doing that. What you mean? When John's in the Revelator was out there, you know, and Brother was telling us last week, preaching about the book, you know, that he saw the book and the book came down and it was offered to John. What was the question was asked to John? Or what was his goal? Take it. Right. It is that if you want to, I mean, you don't have to, but you know, be gentle though. No, take it. And I will be violent by taking it. I will go, give it to me. I want it. I mean, how bad do you want it? You know? By force. So the angel didn't say, you know, yeah, just be gentle with me. No. Take it. Take it. So Brother Brown says in Victory Day, we fight every day. Not just Wednesdays and not just Sundays. We fight every day. Every Christian fights a battle every day. So if you was not in a battle today, I will check my conversion and my, you know, my salvation. If Satan is not after me, I will get worried because he says every day. Oh, but today was fun to me. I never had no trouble. I get a little worried because he says every day we are at warfare right now going constantly. Not every 3 hours or every 8 hours. It's constantly. As long as you're alive and up, there's a chance every minute. Brother Van said every minute. You know, constantly. And not outside you. What it says, within us. Because our fight is not carnal. Our fight is here. Because Satan chose the mind. We are, however, right now going constantly within us. Sometimes I get so sick and so worried and so worn out with the battle that I go through. You know? That's why I come to church. Because Satan can stay outside and I can relax. See? He's not bothering me right now. Unless he wants to sit and listen at the preaching. You know? But this is my time of relaxation. This is my time of let go and let God. You know, even if you home and listening, I'm not saying it's bad, listening at the streaming, you know, there's always something going on. You know, if my dogs are not barking, you know, something happens, you know, noises. It's not the same thing. I cannot relax as the way I relax in the Lord when I'm in service. See? Constantly between right and wrong. That's the choice. Okay. It's not too many choices, just right and wrong. We fight that every day to do the right things. You know, to think right and to do right. What shall we do? If this is happening every day, Reverend said, what shall we do? Are we going to accept the challenge or are we going to back up? Because when Satan comes as a flood, you know, and challenge you, we should just take the challenge. Because you are the answer to that challenge. And he knows that. So he says, shall we receive it? Or what shall we do? Are we just going to stand and just say, well, it's okay? Shall we bow to the world? Shall we just surrender? You know, and take the thought. He says, shall we give up this thought? Or shall we take it? That is the question. That is the battle. That is the choice. Right now, do we take it or do we leave it? Well, you know the answer. We don't want it. He can have it because it's not my thought. It is his thought. See? Listen, Satan will tempt you with a thought, but that's not a sin. The sin is when we just take the thought and we are dwelling the thought and we just accept it. It says, shall we receive it? What shall we do? Shall we bow to the world? Shall we give up this thought that we got? See, yes. So we are at warfare. And God heroes has always had a warfare. So how many heroes do we have? How many heroes of the faith we have? So you're going to have to fight. You want to be a victorious, a hero? You're going to have to fight. Because victory don't come but with fighting. Victory is nothing given to us. You got to fight for. Brother Brown says also, God hiding in self-simplicity, the greatest warfare going on right now is not in the flesh. It is a spiritual warfare. That's why our weapons are not carnal. How can you fight a spirit that you cannot see? How can you, you know, chase Satan around? You don't even know what he looks like. It's a spirit. We are fighting a spiritual battle, and we cannot even see him. So it is the greatest battle because we don't see the enemy. We see what he do, but we don't see him. And it's hard to punch somebody that you cannot see. It's invisible. So that is the greatest thing. Can you imagine having an army that is invisible today? You know, that somehow Israel can become invisible and go and attack everybody. Nobody will see who attacked them. But see, that's carnally. But in our warfare is a spiritual warfare. And we cannot see the spirits. So therefore, we have to have a weapon that can eliminate the spirits. I'm not talking about Ghostbusters. Forget about that movie. I'm not talking about having those kind of instruments. We have something. We have a choice of a weapon that can take care of the things that we cannot see. Amen. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places." And I already went through that. It's a spiritual battle. Now, Brother Brown says also, we see this age that we are living in. And it is one of the greatest ages. Of all the ages, this is the greatest one, the last one. Laodicean church age is the greatest of all the church ages because it is the ending of time and the blending of eternity. We're almost there. I mean, I'm rejoicing too when we blend with eternity. Ending of times. And then it is the greatest and sinful age. So we are the greatest age, but we also come with all the baggage of the others. You know, this furnace is 7 times hotter. So now we have to deal with our things, with our technology, and with all that we have. But now we have to deal with all the other 6 ages, you know, sinful ways that Satan dealt with them. It says, it's more sin in this age than there ever been. So you wonder why when you get to heaven they're going to say, what? Laodicean age? Wait, let's have 1,000 years. Let's sit down. How did you survive? Because it is the worst. I want you to understand, you know, where we are and where you're living. It's not time to be, you know, relaxed. It's not time to be slothful. Because this is the greatest age, but the worst one also. And there's no time. Because Satan, he says, and the power of Satan is a many times, seven times harder, I'm thinking it's more than that, to fight against that it was in any age. So how are we going to win? How are we going to come victorious? How are we going to even start figuring out to fight with something that it is seven times just as hard as this age? So the enemy has had 6,000 years to study the human race. And you are what you got. I mean, 70 years, what am I going to learn in 70 years? I mean, Satan is wiser, more because what he has seen and know that what, you know, anything else. You know, but the power of Satan, you know, that's what Brother Brown says. Don't argue with Satan. He will wrap you up. I mean, how can you deceive the deceiver? What are you going to use to deceive him or to make him, you know, turn around? He created the deceptions. He created everything. And he has 6,000 years to perfect it. You know, to look at all the human race. You know, there's no surprise in that guy. He knows. But the man said, there's a warfare between the devil and God. And always has been. Between good and what? And evil. So that started yesterday. Or 7-8 churches. This is started back in the beginning. The first war was in church. The assembly of the sons of God are there in heaven. And Satan started and he deceived 2/3 of the angels. So this is not a new. To him it's not new. He's been doing it for more than 6,000 years. And he must be good at it when he deceived 2/3 of the angels. So, what is a warfare? Let's define that right here. It is a strife. It's a quarrel, you know. An argument, a disagreement, you know. That's why people go to war. But also between people. You know, in churches we have a strife. That's Satan. I want you to recognize that is Satan. That's not you. That's not your brother. That is Satan. The strife, the argument, the disagreement that between people, at church, out there, at work, anywhere in the world. That is Satan. That's what Brother Branham says. It's not your brother. Get mad at Satan, not at your brother. Brother Branham says, I think, in the junction of time, I think this church ought to know the truth. And that's what I'm standing here. We need to know the truth. Because the truth shall set us free. Amen. And the signs where we are. And that's, I'm always concerned what I am. Because I'm going to make sure that I'm moving forward. I don't want to be, you know, stuck in a rut or backsliding. I want to move forward. But in order to move forward, you have to look to the past to understand the future. No, I'm not talking in riddles. You look at the future, you don't know the future. Nobody knows the future but God. But the only way you can know the future is if you look to the past to have some understanding how to approach the future. Brother Man says, we need to know the truth. How do we look at the truth? Well, we look at, I'm looking at a message that was preached in 1956. I have to look back. So I can get some understanding so I can move forward. So I'm trying to say that some people don't move forward because they are missing. They don't come to church. They don't read. They don't pray. So how can they move forward when they need to go back and be taught and see the truth so they can then, the revelation of that will move them forward. That's why so many people stay behind. Calm down. Okay. I get excited. Then I forget to breathe. But I'm not passing out yet. I think the church ought to know the truth. And that's what I'm here today. That's what Andy is here. That's what the ministers are here. That's what Brother Doug is here. You need to know the truth. And the signs where we are. That you won't be slothful. See? That you will be up in doing. Moving. That the differences will be settled. See, that's one of the things we are going to look at the truth. So you can settle your differences. Because the difference that you have, it is a warfare that we're going on in this church and there with your friend. Everything is Satan. He says that you won't be slothful, be settled, and you walk like real godly men and women. Your heart set on Christ. And don't look into these falsely things of the earth. So, what are you saying? Well, Satan is, you know, this is his kingdom, the world. He's the God of this age. And everything that he got is false. There's nothing real about this world. In fact, there's another world that is more real than this world. So that's why Brother Man said, don't look at this world. Because there's no reality. This is an illusion. This is a big illusion and a dissolution also. When you look at it, what does that mean? It is not real. The real has been, the reality has been tampered with, has been twisted. There's no reality out there. Don't look at there for your answers. There's no answers out there. And if you find an answer, it's twisted. Are in the Word of God. The answers are here. Not in YouTube. Yeah, I watch some of the YouTube sometimes to these people. There's more, I mean, an explosion of prophecies. And people are looking at that. And Rabbi so-and-so. And Mr. Stone and so-and-so. Oh, man, this is full. And every time and that's Satan, you know, the title catch me in my eye, you know, when they're going to preach, they put a nice title, I said, wow. So as soon as I put it on to listen, I said, wow, you know, I know more than this guy. He's going to tell me the mysteries by looking at the Old Testament and reveal the mysteries of his second coming. Oh, my goodness. The mystery of his second coming is already being opened up to us. And that mystery was this prophet that's supposed to come. A prophet like Elijah. I mean, this guy, what is he going to tell me? He's going to take me to the Old Testament back that way? To tell me about a mystery that is just type? And it's the wrong type anyway. It looks good though. Listen, there's nothing out there. Look into these false things of the earth. Because, and you said, well, no, there's some good things. Well, okay, we can talk about it. You can make a list and just send it to me in email. What good things the world has to offer. I know, young people, I'm sorry. Because it is all the devil. That is his world. That is his government. You ain't not going to find nothing that you can use. Nothing that will help you flourish. That will help you grow. There's nothing out there. It is right here. And don't look into these false things in earth, because it's the devil. All these quarrels, differences, you know, disagreements, you know, and wars and strife and different. Look away from them. We are at the end. 1956, about 70 some years, give or take a couple of years. So if that was then, he says, what about now? He said, look away from them. We are at the end. And remember, you may not have another week to do it in. Wow, 70 years now. And if he said, you don't have another week to do it, what about today? We are more closer than he was. We are so close. And I can probably say the same thing. I don't know if we have another week. I mean, the things are accelerating, and I want to get into that. I waste too much time with those things. And remember, you may not have another week to do it in. So we need to take advantage. I mean, I don't know how many times we need to emphasize this. We need to take advantage. When the church is open, we need to take advantage. See, because we don't know. The hour is so late. We don't even know how late it is. But it's later than 70 years ago. We need to take advantage of every opportunity when the church is open. So you know the truth. Because without the truth, you cannot fight. If you don't know what's going on, how can you fight? And if you're going to fight, what are you going to use to fight with? If you don't know what you are, you know, fighting with, who you're fighting. That's why we are church, to prepare you for all these things. Only God knows we are here at the end. So a war is, a warfare is a strife, and that strife happens among people and among church strife. And a struggle also, a warfare is a struggle. It's a contention. A contention, you know, is also a dispute, you know. It could be anything, and that happens in church. This war is not only at there. At there is just a natural war, but we're fighting in a spiritual war, and we have contentions among ourselves. And we have disagreement, and we have a strife between groups, between churches. We got contentions within churches. We can't even get along. So this is a real thing. There's a war going on. And we're trying to help you so you can survive the war in the best way, as according to the word, of course. Acts 15:39, and the contention, this is Paul, and the contention was so sharp between them that they disparted asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. So Paul is talking about, you know, they went into the mission, all three of them. It's just like me and Andy and Brother Doug going out in the mission. But when we get there, Andy and I decide we don't want to go with you no more. Or we got something better we want to go. That's just what happened. And it was a contention. I don't blame. Paul probably was mad at this guy. I mean, it was not a contention. It was a sharp contention. So don't tell me there's no contentions in church. At least among this pastor, there is a lot of contention. We can see it. And I'm not here to tell you what's going on. It's a lot of conflicts. It's a lot of contention. A warfare, there's a conflict, discord. It's a competition. You know, that's what conflict happens in church when somebody tries to compete with somebody else. I'm trying to bring it here because out there I don't want to do nothing to you. He's here that you need to understand that all these things are happening in church as well. There's conflict, there's strife, there's contentions. Discords, you know, and God hates that. He says 16 I hate, but the last one is an abomination. What? Someone that goes around what? Going and setting discords, whatever the word, that I can't find the word. But anyway, so, and this is also happening between nations right now. You know, there are conflicts. Israel is in conflict. And Russia with Ukraine, and China with wants to take the Philippines, and Korea. Is there conflicts? But I'm not interested in those conflicts out there. Like he said, forget about the conflict. I'm interested about the conflicts that is in church. One of the conflicts is competition, like I said. You know, some time back, somebody asked me, the person is not here, so relax. It's not about you. He left a long time ago. I finished preaching, or before I preached, he approached me, and he says, don't you feel kind of unease or, you know, intimidated when Brother Doc is saying you have to preach? I said, you know, I never thought about it. But the only way that I can be intimidated is if there's a competition. Because I can intimidate you. We're going to have a race. I'm going to tell you how bad you are and you are not going to make it. I'm going to tell you you're too fat and you will not be able to run me and you are blah, blah. I mean, I will intimidate you. Why? Because I want to win. It's a competition. But see, I'm not competing with Andy, and Andy's not competing with me, and I'm not competing with Brother Doug. So why should I feel intimidated? Anyway, he has his ministry, I got mine, and Andy has his. And we have separate things, and we are all different. Don't feel intimidated. Oh, but look at that brother, I wish I can be like that. Don't wish anything. In fact, don't tell the devil what you're wishing for, because you might, he might try to deceive you into having that. So competitions between nations, between churches. Philippians 1st chapter, 29 verses, for unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. We talked about that the last time I preached. Suffering brings perfection, you know. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. So all the suffering that we go through, and we preached that before, and I'm not going to go back, it is to make you perfect. And sometimes you have to enter in conflicts. See? Listen what Paul, when he says about conflicts. 2 Corinthians 11, let me enumerate his conflicts. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more and labor more abundant in stripes above measurement, in prison for frequent, in death of the Jew 5 times. I received 40 stripes, save one. Twice was I beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned. Twice I suffered shipwreck. I thought he only got shipwreck 1 time. He says twice. He said, a night and a day I have been in deep, in the journeying often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the hidden, in perils by the city, in perils by the wilderness, in perils by the sea, in perils among false brethren. And so you don't think that's a conflict? Yes, it's a conflict. That's what we have to do away with conflict. You cannot come here with a conflict among brothers or strife, because I don't know about you, I'm going to be blessed. But God cannot bless you when things are not in harmony with somebody else. It says, and weariness and painfulness, and watching often in hunger and thirst, fasting often, a cold and nakedness. I mean, he wasn't talking just to talk. That guy has been from, probably, he has enough to give us one of those things and cover the whole church. I mean, so, conflicts, strife, struggles. We go through life. In fact, that's what life is all about. Seems like that's all life is, all struggle. Your body struggles to stay alive. In fact, you have to fight to stay healthy. You had to fight just to find the strength. You had to fight with all these viruses and with all these diseases. It's all a fight to stay alive. That's all it is out there. How can you enjoy life if you're sick? How can you spend your money if you cannot even go anywhere? I mean, it's a fight. It is a fight to stay alive. But I'm so glad because we are alive in him. One of these days I will shed this body and the real me will finally can rest. And I will put this guy to rest. Done with you. It is, as Solomon said, vain. All is vain. So he says, the end of his discernment was, you know, enjoy the fruit of your hands and worship God. Because there's nothing else out there. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy your families. Enjoy church. Because that's all. Brother Branham says, we're talking about the weapons of choice. Let's jump to the weapons of choice. In power transformation, the enemy uses what? Deception. He says, like he did to Eve. He beguiled her. You know? He deceived her. This is not new. He's been doing this for years. And he's still doing it. It says it's deception. He says, oh God has said surely. Let me tell you, deception, what is deception? It comes in the way of dishonesty. Somebody that will tell you a story just to get whatever out of you, you know, and that story is not even true. It's a lie. Being dishonest. And the Bible speaks about being dishonest, you know. We need to be honest with all our dealings with everybody. Yes. We should be honest, and not only in church with our brothers and sisters, we should to be honest out there with our workers. If you sign up to get this paycheck for this amount of time, for this amount of hours, then work your hours. Give them an hour. Don't be dishonest. Right. You know? And we can go on and on. Dishonesty. Trickery. You know? See, that's what he did. He tricked her. Fraud. Lying, fears, That should not be spoken in church. See, but I want you to know that it's all a deception. You know? Fear. The devil uses fear. And you know what fear do to your mind? It disturbs your mental state. And I'm going to hit something here right quick. People that have panic attacks and they have anxieties and they have distress is because fear. I know because I've been there and done that. And I have a friend right now that I'm trying to help, and that's I invited her to church, and she told me the day before, yes, I'm going to come to church. Next day she called me and says, I had a panic attack. I couldn't sleep. I'm anxious. I'm anxiety. I am, you know, stressed, distressed. I'm pressed. I cannot go to church. But that's a spirit. And Satan likes to use that. See? Why? To stop you. To stop you from doing the right things. To deceive you. It's all a deception. Because I've been there, and I tell you what, I have panic attacks, I have anxiety, I have distress. Now I'm free of that. You know why? Because I know it's all a lie. You're going to get in the airplane, you get all anxious and panic that the airplane is going to fall. How many times have you had an airplane that has fallen? So that's how many times you just die. In your mind, you die before you even got in it. So if the first time you didn't die and the second time you didn't die, forget about the fourth and the sixth. It's all a lie. Because if it was true, then it should have happened. Oh, but I've seen the news. Forget about the news. That's not you. You are son and a daughter of God. But Satan will work in your minds. He will deceive you. He will trick you into believing things. He will lie to you just so you can, you know, he lied to Eve. He just kind of warped the whole reality of Eve. But God don't love you. See, deception. God don't love you. Because if God wouldn't love you, you will... You know, he will tell you that he's holding back on you. See? Trickery. Don't listen at that devil. He has nothing good to say. Don't reason with the devil. Let the thought come and let it go back out the other way. Come to one ear, go another idea. Do you not need to sit and reason with the devil? Because you're going to lose. Right now. So when the thing start coming in, the panic, the anxiety, you know, do like I do. I just give me some nice music, you know, gospel music. Or sometimes I put in my thing, I put the phone, I put the rain. I like to hear the rain. It relaxes me. You know, at night when I used to have anxiety, I just put the rain. Something that will take my mind away. Or how many times at night I woke up with anxiety. My heart is racing. I think I can breathe. I think I'm going to die. Well, I just went around the house. My heart was racing like crazy because that's what anxiety and fear do. Exasperate people. I will just turn around, go around the house, I'm singing the song, or whatever comes to my mind. Until my heart comes down, everything comes down, and I go to bed. But I had to fight. I had to struggle with that. Now, that happened back then. I don't struggle with that anymore. I can sleep. I don't have to worry to be woke up in the middle. And when I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm fine. Because it is so a lie. It's so a lie. But he's so deceitful. So deceitful. Don't even listen at your body. You go to the doctor and the doctor says, my instruments are showing that you got cancer. Thank you, doctor. I appreciate everything you do for me. So, and then when you come from the doctor and you go home and they ask you, so how was the visit with the doctor? Don't tell the devil what he wants to hear. Don't tell the devil that you have cancer because the doctor told you have cancer. No, you know, he is my healer. He will take care of me. Don't worry. Everything is under control, see? Because as soon as you tell the devil where you are, he knows where he wants you to be. Don't let him know anything. See, as much as we love the doctors and go to the doctors, the pill is not the healer. Thank God for the healer. He's our healer. So don't give doctors and things as much as they study, and I appreciate them. But God is my healer. Like that brother was saying, Danny from Africa. His brother, you know, a deterioration of a bone with cancer. But what God did? He says, well, wait. You know, Danny tell the doctor, can we wait a week? You know, well, the test will not come in another week, you know, the biopsy and all that stuff. So, yeah, you have a week. Well, they actually had 2 weeks. But they pray. So what happened after that? He had a new bone. And a new bone is different than the old bone. You know, if God give you a heart, and I know this happened, this is true, I've seen it. I lived it in my time. Brother Dave, you know, Joy's father, you know, he died. He actually died. He started having a heart attack on Friday. He thought he ate something. His water started vomiting. He did something that he ate bad. So he just didn't go to the doctor. So he vomited on Monday, on Friday, on Saturday, on Monday. And by Monday, he passed out. The body could not take it anymore because that's what the body's doing. By then, when they take him to the hospital, the heart is damaged. 3 days, heart attack. It's damaged. You cannot repair that. You cannot, you know, try anything. It's damaged. It will not come back again. That part. And the doctor said it. He says it's damaged. Beyond. They cannot do nothing repair it. The doctor tried to revive him more than he should because he still was hoping. He was a Jewish doctor. He was hoping. But he never responded. So they entubed them completely. And the doctor knew he was dead. He's gone. But he didn't want to, you know, break the news yet. So he told the wife, Sister Chris, he says, just get hold of your family. Make all the arrangements. Because I know as soon as we pull the tube, I don't think he's... Well, he was already dead, but as soon as they pull the tube, he's dead. It was the machine that was keeping him alive. So she said, okay, don't entube him, leave him the way it is. And we were all there. We were praying. I mean, we're not all, you know, kneeling or anything. We're walking, but we're praying. So the next thing, the machine started, tip, tip. And the end of the story was that God gave him a new heart. God don't repair you with a spare part. So, or go to the junkyard and get you a part that is already been used. When God repairs something, he makes it all new completely. It was a new heart. The Jewish doctor is still trying to figure out what happened. Where's Lazarus in our 21st century? I call him Lazarus. See? But God do that. See? Don't be deceived by Satan. And the reason is Satan cannot prosper. Anything that he says, he cannot bring it to pass. Amen. But the word of God can prosper, but not his word. Any weapon that he can create cannot prosper. Only God's word can prosper. It can create. Amen. Children of disobedience, Brother Branham said, the good of this evil age. Children of disobedience. And if the Antichrist, beginning there in the infancy of disobedience, what will it be when it heads up in the person of the Antichrist? How deceptive it will be. It is. We are living in the most deceptive age that has been. It will be how much more powerful that deception will be. And it is. It's powerful. You cannot fight against that. You know, it almost looks like reality to you. The things that happen, the things you see, the things you struggle. That's why you have to be careful because I'm not trying to be, you know, insensitive. The things that you go through, they're real, you know. Real in your mind. I mean, you go to the doctor and say, yes, it is true. You got that. I'm not trying to be insensitive. And it's pain and it's suffering. But it's all a deception. Because God can take care of that. He says, powerful deception could an adult give to the world, an infant child. And he says, the spirit of delusion, not only deception, but delusion. Delusion is, it's not real. It looks real.
but it's not real.
The spirit of delusion now working on the children so disobedient. Disobedient to the word. Notice, now, I want to dwell in this just a minute. The children so disobedient. I'm not going to, but he will be. Anyway, delusion is a false impression. It is misleading impressions that we have. It is misconceptions, see, of reality. You know, and that do because misbelief. People don't believe the word of God. So what have they got to believe but whatever is out there? That's all. But you and I know better than that because we believe. So either God is right or Satan is right. Either he's real or God is real. Confusion. And that's the next thing he wants to bring. The weapon of choice is deception. So he can bring confusion. So if you see a Christian that is confused, you know what happened? He's been deceived. Because God is not the author of confusion. So if we're confused, it's not God. God don't confuse me. Confuse you, and then the last thing he likes to do is to destroy you. He don't love you. He don't even love his own children. God is the only one that give you life. God is the only one that love you. Amen. Satan wants to destroy. He's going around like a roaring lion, trying to do what? Destroy. God wants to give me life. So, confusion, lack of clearness, disorientation. How many people are? So, what are you doing? Oh, I don't know. So, are you going to church? Well, no, I don't know. I thought you was going to that church. You know, they're perplexed, like surprised when you ask him questions like that. See, we should not be a people that are confused. I know what I am. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. Period. I'm not a confused guy. If I was confused, I wouldn't be here. But I'm not confused anymore. I was confused at one time, but no longer I'm confused. I'm glad that God gave me a new mind. Mm-hmm. God gave me a new heart. God gave me the Holy Spirit. I'm not confused anymore. Brother Brown said, we see this age that we are living. And in one of the greatest ages of all ages, the Laodicean church is the greatest of all the ages because it is the ending of time. And I read you that, but let me read you the rest of it. 45, let's go back. Here, back there in the early age, Christianity could, for his profession, being in church or belonging to Christ, could be beheaded. See? Out there in the age of the ox, that was it. You know, naturally, in the natural, you die. For following Christ. You had to actually physically give your life. But he says now, beheaded. He could be killed and put out of his misery. And go to meet God quickly. Sometimes, when I go through situations, I'm human just like you are. I say, God, why don't you just take me? Let's get it over with. But see, that's the easy way out. Because we don't want to put up with the plan from glory to glory for the changing that takes suffering, dying and going to heaven. You know, every time we preach a funeral, every time somebody dies, people say, well, he's in a good place now than we was before. I say, wow, I want to die. I mean, that's an easy way to get out of here because, you know, what we have to suffer. It says, beheaded, misery, and it's all it is misery. In this world. I don't like to sound so negative about the world, but the world has some good things, but it's hard to find them anyway. And good to meet God quickly, but now the enemy has come in the name of the church and is so deceiving. This is a great age of deception. When Christ says so, the two spirits would be so close in the last days till he would deceive the very elect if it was possible. But it's not possible. But if it was possible, he would deceive. See, remember, Christ has spoke of the elected people for the last days. That's me. I would deceive the very elect if it were possible. So close. There's not too much room to wiggle. You know? That's why we cannot play with the world and the things. It's not too much room to wiggle here.
So close. The two spirits are so close that if it was possible, it will deceive you.
Amen.
So close. The people so live, people can live a clean, holy life, not be sinful, adulterers, or drinkers, or liars, or gamblers. They can live above all that and still not with it. This is the age of life. Personal life of Christ. The chemical of his body, the blood cell, what was in him. Brother Brown continues saying in the taking on the whole armor of God. Certainly, it is appealing. Sin is appealing. See, it looks good. Well, it looks nice. But the enemy keeps finding better bait. Oh my goodness. See, well, this is not working with Eli anymore. I got to find me a new bait. See, he's the great fisherman of times. In fact, all your sins are forgiven. And they are in the sea of unforgiveness. But who do you think is fishing right there right now? It's a big sign saying no fishing, but he don't care. He break the law. But he said they're trying to find new bait because he knows all my stuff is there. And you know your stuff too. You don't forget it. Just because you've been forgiven, you don't forget what you was. But he still can fish that out of you. So he said they're fishing. And he's trying to get a new bait because this one don't work for you. Like, maybe I have to do something else. Something else. Do not think that he's a dummy. Well, this just don't work anymore. I guess I have to leave him alone. Yeah. Every day he comes with something new. You need to watch that guy. But enemy keeps finding better bait. He will strip her off a little more. She's talking about women's now and men. You are 100% hard-blooded man. You know what I'm talking about. Okay? Keep finding bait, see? He will strip her off a little more and do this and do that. And don't worry, he will never make her completely naked. But I'm sorry, Brother Brannan, that was about, when did he push this? Hold on. 62. How many years is that? Some mathematician fast. Huh? 60 what? Okay. If your Brother Brannan was living in 63, he would not say that. Because they are naked. See, what happened was that he could not see anything else after 1977. It was all dark. But we can. We are here. Here we are. And they are naked. So, add that one to the list. It says, Satan keep bringing sin, says, completely naked. She be horrible then. That's what he said then, 60 years ago. She's naked. So it's terrible. It's horrible for men when we go out there. And Satan is ready to put a new bait. See, but Satan keeps bringing in sin in. And that was the origin of sin. That's the way he's going out. With the same thing as the kingdom come in the warfare. Brother Barnes continues saying in why God gave the very best of the beginning for his great mighty army. God's choice of weapon. Satan chose a weapon. God chose a weapon. I mean, and he never had to change it because he said the last night his first decision is the best and it's perfect. It's the only decision. He said, he gave us what? The word. Now you got something to fight. Before we had no way. We were losers. We were just, Satan had dragged us like a puppet. Whatever he pointed, that's where we went. We don't have to do that no longer. We can fight. Because we got something to fight with. He has equipped you. You don't have to take it anymore. He said, Satan, he says, last night his first decision, best and only, he gave his people his word. And his word would defeat Satan any place, any way, in any circumstance. You don't have to put up with that anymore. He says, as Satan reasoned with them, reasoning against the word of God, that's what the devil does today. He tries to reason. See? Now, this is only reason that you don't have to do this. See? Well, what are you going to church for? You don't have to do that. Well, church don't save. See? Don't see that reason. That's why some people don't come to church because they like to reason it out. He says, It is only reason we got plenty of members. We don't need the Holy Ghost or the Holy Ghost. The reason is out trying to say the people are mentally upset. They are emotional because themselves they are dead in sin and trespasses. I told you why people are suffering with anxieties and panic. Why? Because emotionally, mentally upset. Why? Because they don't know how to fight back. See? And they don't come, so we can equip them so they can fight back. And if one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. How many can we chase? That's why the devil is not here. You know, he's waiting for us outside, but he's not here right now. And we're having a good time. We are not worrying about him. Because themselves, they are dead in sin and trespasses. Oh, I wish I had more time to preach about trespasses. Because see, Christians don't sin. If the seed of God remains in you, you don't sin. But you commit trespasses. Let me just give you a little deep on this, but when I have some time of the time, I got too much anyway. What is a trespass? I like the word trespass. That must be a Spanish word. Put it back. Thank you. Where is it? Trespasses. It's at the end. Okay. See, T-R-E-S, tres, mean tres. Isn't it? Yeah, T-R-E-S in Spanish mean tres. Now you're learning something. Pass, the same thing in Spanish. Paso, pasa. Tres pasas, or traspas, or trespass. So, one day, I better not get out of my... No. So, what is a trespass? Quickly, I want to just whet your appetite with this one. Okay, you don't commit sin. You cannot sin, period. However, you trespass. You know, you got certain limit. We all got limits that God has created, and we should not go over those limits. The Word of God gives us boundaries. You are not free to do whatever. We all got boundaries. Okay? When you trespass, that means that you have jumped your boundary and you jump in somebody else's boundary. That means where your rights end, your brother's ends start, but you trespass. He says, no trespass. And you went to your brother's. And when you do that, what happened? Trespassing is illegal. Trespassing is you should not be in there. For whatever reason you trespass and you went to your brother's or sister's place or parameters, that means it wasn't to do any good anyway. We trespass. That's what the Bible says. If you have any ought against anybody, let me describe you the word ought means that you know somebody did something to you and he is responsible and his duty is to come and ask you for forgiveness. Not you, him. You know that. See, so what happened is that you know that and then you want to trespass. Well, so-and-so did this to me and then they do. See, you don't supposed to trespass. That's his problem. He did it to you, but that is his problem. You don't go and try to make him feel better. You better pay me and you better do this too because you did this. Don't trespass. Because as soon as you trespass, you're in his sight. And he has rights. Trespassing is illegal. That's what the Bible says. And you can read it after the prayer that they asked Jesus, teachers had to pray, said, do not trespass. Because if you trespass and you don't ask forgiveness, I will not forgive your trespasses. He didn't say your sin, your trespasses. And every day sometimes we are trespassing. So I'm gonna leave it there because that's what trespasses mean. That we are have a problem with another brother or another sister, but we have trespass. So what do we do? You have to wait. You have to do it legally. You know, you got in the border, you know, you got two guys coming illegal, you know, and they say, well, do not trespass. And he said, illegal. You can be put in jail. Don't take care of your problems, you know, by trespassing somebody else and trying to take care of things. The church is set up, the word is the God set up to take care of anything. If somebody had done you wrong, what do what are you supposed to do? Go and take care of it and trespass? but you're just as bad. You take a deacon and you go and talk to that person. And if he don't want to listen, then what you say, you go and talk to the pastor and let him take care. Then if not, the church will decide. See, but he don't say that you go and take care of it. Because trespasses means that you are illegally in the wrong place. See, and you can be deported. See, trespasses are knowing nothing about the power of God. Amen. So there's two guys trying to cross, and they read the sign, "No trespassing, no trespass." So they went and said, "Come on, we can go." So they went, and the border patrol stopped them and he said, "You guys are trespassing illegally." He said, "No, we're not trespassing." "Yes, you are trespassing. Don't tell me you're not. Did you saw the sign back there?" I said, "It says no trespassing. It's only two of us." He said, "No trespassing." Anyway, just to wake you up. Marriage and divorce. The increase of the beauty of woman is showing the time of deception. When did the church look any more prettier than it is today? All those churches, they look pretty. They got a lot of people. They got a lot of money. They got a lot of ministry. They got a lot of music. Oh, pretty, pretty, pure. Beautiful. Everything is featuring great. Big fine buildings, millions, these and millions of that. Don't you see? See the deception? See, now, there is nothing kind of stupid like her, and she is designed so that she can be a deceiving. See? And Satan is really working on her today, and this is the last days because he is her designer. He can prove that. Now, to go right back at the beginning, who started the work on her, Adam, Satan, God, or Satan, see that it is her designer. He is the chief. Is her the chief one? Weapon or deception for man. So be careful, you guys, because that happens every time you get up and you hit the stores. The first look is fine. Do not look two, three times, second time. Chief weapon is her filth, being a pretty woman. She can sway a man any way she wants. She sends more people to hell than a cantina, than a bar. Than it says, throw man to filth, being a pretty woman. She can sway a man any way she wants to. Brother, it is aim the bootleg joint. That is not get the man. It is the pretty woman walking down the street, twisting herself, hot dress. That's what it takes. That is the deceiver right there. And she is a deadly with it. She's deadly with it. Absolutely deadly. And you know why? Because we got feelings. We got emotions. See? The deceiver right there, and she is deadly. And Satan knows that. See, you have to cover all that area completely. That's why we have so much pornography. Young people, it's just a deceiving age. It will destroy you. That's what it takes. That's the deceiver right there. And she's deadly with it. Absolutely deadly. You may question me about Satan being her designer, but that's true. Satan designed her. Amen. And he says again, has God lost control, or he's just permitting another agency to control? I wonder. The true answer to the question is, to my opinion, there's two opposing spirits in the world today at work. Now, there cannot be no more than two heads. And one of them is the Holy Spirit and at work, and the other one is the spirit of the devil. And it is these last days a deception. So if he starts talking to you, if you see he's moving his lip, he's lying to you. Don't listen. He's lying to you. That's why people get sick. That's why people go through the mental disturbance, because they're listening. I think in Matthew, it is come till the whole world has become a great deception at what is really truly and what is right. See, even in politics, let's not even go there, and social affairs, and in school, everything. It become a deceitfulness. Don't you even think that there's not deceitfulness? It is. Everything is corrupted. The deceitfulness of the church of today, see the sons of perdition, the devil, the sons of perdition, the devil. Then people worshiping Satan and not even knowing. What a deception. That's a great deception. People worshiping Satan this day, thinking they are worshiping God. Wow, that's the top. But they are worshiping him through creed, man-made denomination, creeds, and brought to people right now to the greatest deception that the world has ever known. No matter how much the word of God promised for this day is preached and vindicated, they still won't believe it. They won't believe it. Again, Brother Branham, man is rotten. The whole human race is corrupted. Everything is like it was in the antediluvian time. It is completely upset, turned around, different from the straight road that God planted them in. Sin through signs and deception has twisted the whole human race. Not us. We were twisted one, but I'm not twisted anymore. I know who I am. Deception. That's why, Brother, I said, don't look at the world. There's nothing out there. It's all corrupted. Now we find now deceiving is today. Matthew 24:25, Jesus said, in the last day that the two spirits would be so close alike until they would deceive the very elect if it was possible. I'm glad he can. How close? What a deception. All right and wrong we have today. Now, I'm almost deadly close. I'm going to reach you something. It's about a page long. But I want you to hear what he says, not what I say. I want you to hear what the word says. You have a weapon. Satan has a weapon. You have a weapon that you can defeat him. Now, listen at this closely. If you didn't listen to nothing else I said, listen at this. The deer also here, we find that also has another sense of a smell. You know, animals do. That set of that says of an alarm. And him when his enemy is near. He possesses this little creature with a sense to protect himself. And he got a little alarm in him, a little something that he tickles his nose when the enemy is near. You can get in the wing of the enemy and he knows what you are there. And you know that you are there and he's gone. Sometimes, you know this, you guys go hunting. I'm not a hunter, so you know what I'm talking about. He's able to sense it because that he's made up that way. He's a deer. See, you think that he was getting away from you because you thought he was smarter than you? No. He just, God put a sense in him. To avoid what? Enemy. He's a deer by nature, and that sense in him, just one that God given him, sense to him to live by. Now, and I thought, comparing the deer with a man that is thirsting for God, how many are thirsting for God? See, before the enemy gets there, there is something about a child of God that when you once are born in the Spirit of God, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's something about a person that can sense the enemy. So we cannot lose, see? I mean, in our own marriage, we lose. But we can't. He says, sense the enemy. You can take a man, he's thinking the scriptures and reading the scriptures, and he tried to inject something that the scripture, that contrary to the scriptures, and a man that's filled with the Holy Ghost can sense that. That's what your pastor always telling you. I sense every time he's preaching. So I have a gift, and more than probably you have. We have that gift. His is probably double. But he can sense when he preaches something, he comes back at him. See? But that's God. He says, sense that right quick. There is something out of the way. When he gets into a place and that little certain sense in there, that is done to protect what? Your life. You must not never go for anything unless it is exactly the word of God. You must stay right exactly with the word. And now, and we are secure with the sense as long as we are in the Holy Spirit. As long as we don't walk in the flesh, but we walk in the Spirit, every day is going to be a bite. He told you every day we have to. But if you are walking in the Spirit, there's a sense that will keep you from that enemy. You can go to read, and like, for instance, somebody says, I got to read Mark 16 and say, and this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, or take serpents, or drink deadly things, and it will not harm them. If they had their hands on the sick, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Now, then you find a person get up there and say, now, that was for the apostolic age. That's not right. Right quick, if you have received the Holy Spirit, you have endowed with a sense. And it sets it off. You know? There is something wrong there. This is why so many people are tossed around and going places. They don't have the Holy Spirit, because if we had the Holy Spirit, that we had that sense that keeps them alive from all this stuff. Listen, God did not save you to lose you. And if God saved you, He's going to keep you. And He has made this already in you. If you have the Holy Ghost and you are thirsting for God, God will put that sense so you will not get in trouble. The enemy can go and throw anything at you. But see, before you even try, you already sense. He says, they try to explain it away. Another day that really don't need these things today, but Jesus said, the sign shall follow those that we see. There's a little something set off, a little buzzer. And knowing that is wrong, the way of death. Because Jesus said, if we add one word to this or take from it, our part is taken out of the book of life. See, not one scripture. We must take just the way it's written. And God watches over His word to perform it. And we know that it's got to be just right. That's what I want you to listen, because I cannot put it any better than He puts it. So therefore, no matter what church who said, what anyone else who said, if you are born of a Spirit of God, you become a part of the Bible. God told Ezekiel, he, the prophet, you become part of what? Of the Bible. You are a walking Bible, actually. You are an epistle read by all men. See, he said, become part of the... Ezekiel said, the prophet, he said, take the scroll and eat it. Then the prophet and the scroll became part of each other, became one. You and the Word of God are one. And God and you are it, you know. We don't need a bunch of people. You and God is the majority in anything. See? So that's why sometimes you don't have to, even though they said that in the numbers, you know, counsel is wisdom. Well, you don't need, because you and God are the majority. He says, and that's the believer, when he received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, and the Spirit of God is the Word of God. My Word are Spirit, and the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hebrews 13:8. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, and when you are part of that Word, oh, then let something come contrary to that Word. There's a little buzzer. Set up right quick. Why do we get so much in trouble if we have a buzzer that's going to alert that something's going to happen? And I've been in trouble for years. Well, sometimes I make mistakes and choices, but, you know, but it's not because of me. It's because He has kept me. You see? Little Brother Brandon, snap his finger. See, it's to warn you that death is in the road. So go happy. Go on your trip. Just make sure that buzzer, when you hear that buzzer, when it sounds, then you was going to go this way, just go the other way. You know, God will keep you. God cannot lie. God will keep you. And God has equipped you with the best weapon, more than an atomic bomb. And not only just saying the word, we're not saying, He also put a sense in you. We should never do that, this also. So anyway, conclusion. Let me remember I told you that Paul went through all the conflicts, and any man, I don't, Brother Branham went through his, he lost his father shortly after, then later he lost his wife, then he lost his daughter. I mean, he has been through a lot of things. Brother Branham went through it. But this is what Paul says. I am now ready to be offered. It's coming to the end of the road, see? And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good war. You're going to fight until you die. I mean, until this goes to the ground, because the real you is going to go the other way. Never, never relax. The fight is not over until it's over. I have fought, but I want to hear those words. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforward is laid upon for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the right judge, shall give me in that day, and to me only, but all them also that love his appearance. Don't worry, it's going to be a reward. I mean, I'm not doing this for a reward. I'm doing this because I love God. I don't care much about the reward, but I want to have a crown of life so I can toss it at him. When that day we're going to take the crown, I want to have one of those. So I want to finish my course. See? Stand, because I got to finish. It's already, I took half hour. You can stand. But in order to be able to fight Satan, you have to know the enemy. That's why we are talking here. You need to know his deceptions. And even if you don't know entirely what he do, that bother, and you have the Holy Ghost, listen at that bother. The Holy Ghost will convict you. Right away. I know because I experience that all the time. When you start doing something wrong, the Holy Ghost will tell you that's not right. And I'm talking, really tell you, don't do it. The only way you can do something that is against the word, because we force ourselves to do it, because the Holy Ghost is not going to force you to stop. But he will warn you when the time comes. You need to know the enemy, and you need to know his weapon of choice, but you also need to know that you have a weapon of choice. And you shall never be defeated. You shall never be defeated. Don't listen to his light. You never be defeated. The Bible said in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. You cannot be defeated. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, you shall judge it. See, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And the righteousness is of me, says the Lord. It is all God working in you. Amen. A victorious Christian wins before he goes to battle. You already won the battle. Actually, you just have to prove that you did. To prove that God is what he said he is. But see, a victorious Christian wins before he goes to battle. David already won. See? He didn't care how tall this guy was. He didn't care anything. He knew what God has done for in the past. You always look to the past. God done this for me, did for me here, and he will do it again and again and again and again to the future. So now you confront the situation, and David says, I'll take your head off. But that wasn't David talking. God will defeat that. It was God doing the fighting. It's God. Vengeance is of God. You don't have to. He will do that for you. Amen? But a defeated Christian go to battle and expect to win. 50% of the battle is physically. You know, your condition, your discipline, your ability. Yes, you have to have that. If you're going to be an athlete that runs, you better have a physical body discipline and ready to go. But the other 50% is here. So if you don't win in your mind first, and trying to go to battle without already accepting that you are going to win, that you are going to defeat the devil, that God is your deliverer. If you are not winning that fight before you go into it, you're going to lose it. Because you're going to go to a fight to see if you're going to win. We don't do that halfway. When I enter into a battle with Satan, I know I already won. He's a stupid guy, don't know it, tonto. He's a good adversary. He lost already, but he's going to pretend, deceive you that he hasn't, that he still has a chance. It's done. Your mindset, your mentality is, I am, and I already won. I know who I am and what I am, and that's not going to change. Because when you get out there tomorrow, Satan is going to test you. So get down on your knees, read your Bible and pray. Win the fight before you get into the fight. Never go into a fight without first winning your fight. Ask God first. Pray. Get an answer from God. Do not advance just because you think. No, forget about your thinking. I don't need your thinking. You don't need mine, and we don't need anybody. I want his thinking. Win your battle in your knees before you go. And when you go, you know it's settled. Amen. Just a word of wisdom for you. See. So you cannot be defeated no more than God can be defeated. You cannot die no more than God can die. So you're already a winner. All you have to do is accept that who you are. We already won. We're waiting for the rapture. In fact, we've already been raptured in his mind. We just need to go through this to prove who he is, the vindication of his word. God is going to display her. But we already won. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Let him try whatever he's going to try. He's a loser. I'm a winner. Because the Lord is the one that fights my battles. And he has equipped me with what I have need completely. Daniel 7:21 says, I mean, this is my last one. It says, so don't be frightened when you meet them in battle. David wasn't frightened. You know who was frightened? The whole army of Saul. And that's fear. And that's what Satan is. It's all a deception. Look at how big we are, how strong we are. Look at the weapons that we have. So what? A guy with a slingshot and 5 stones? They laughed at him. But see, he knew better. The Lord your God is great, fearsome, and he will fight on your side. You are never alone. Never alone. Remember, never alone. If God is with you, who can be against you? Amen. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly. Amen. Thank you for your patience. And lend me your ears for an hour and a half. Thank you, guys, for serving. You want to come and jump over here. I'm not going to start anything. Let us pray right quick. Father, we thank you once again. Thank you for giving me the strength, the energy. Thank you for to stand in this pulpit and face the task. Father, like I said in the beginning, I open my mouth. You feel it, Father. Because I'm depending on you. I'm trusting in you. Father, it is all about you, Father. Thank you, Father, for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us that sense, Father, that keep us out of trouble, that keep us away from our enemy, that keep us away from deception, Father, that keep us away from the devil's ways and deceitfulness and deceit. Father, thank you. Because you saved us to keep us, Father. You didn't save us to lose us. Father, we love you. I pray for this congregation, those that are listening. Father, I just pray, Father, that you make these words live in them, Father. That they can take this word and they will meditate, Father, in what we have said tonight, Father. Because we cannot lose. Father, we are already victorious. We're just going through life. So we can acquire the character so we can reign with you forever and ever, Father. Big with my brother pastor, Father, Brother Doug. I don't need to know what he is doing and what he needs to do, but I'm glad that he got a day off, Father, because we all like to have a day to enjoy our families and enjoy ourselves. May he today refresh himself and ask fellowship with his family or whatever he went to do, Father. We ask you to keep him, protect him, continue guiding him, Father, giving him the strength and the health to continue and the word to continue leading this pastoring this church, Father. Father, thank you for our musicians, our deacons. Thank you for our teachers. Thank you for those that clean the church. Thank you for the minister of music. Thank you. I thank you because, Father, this is you at work. This is you at work in your children, Father. And we love you, Father, because you know what's best for us, all of us, Father. And you will give us that, Father. If we ask our natural Father for bread, will he give us a stone? How much more? Those that are thirsting and crying, will you not give them the Holy Ghost, Father? I'm so thankful, Father, that you are so loving and so caring for us tonight, Father. Thank you. You are wonderful. You're awesome. There's no other God like you. We love you. And tonight, Father, we dismiss not from your presence, but from each other, Father. And I ask you to cover, to protect, to keep until next time we meet. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen.